There's evidence that resource distribution favoring women improves the welfare of children. By the same token, in the current crisis, women facing lower income and lower expenditure capacity is likely to adversely affect welfare of children. One way to analyze this is through the various approaches discussed in session in the morning, perhaps tomorrow. But some of these approaches require data not widely available. In particular, the data for time use, even for countries that is available, is not sufficiently wide in scope to address some of these problems, especially regarding welfare of children. And for most other countries, the data is non-existent and likely to remain so for the foreseeable future. So there is really a need for an alternative method. And I'm going to talk about one such method, which seems to be especially effective in detecting discrimination against girls from the consumption pattern of adults. This method was first proposed by the Cambridge economist Eugene Rothbard during the war, and has more recently been applied to gender bias against girls. I'll try to explain to you very quickly and very simply the basis of the method. Rothbard suggested that we could use adult standard of living as a measure for variation in adult standard of living as a measure of welfare of children. In that regard, he proposed that we use goods exclusively consumed by adults as an indicator of adult standard of living, if you like, the share of total adult household which goes to adults. The application of this method to gender bias against girls, in simple terms, works in the following manner. Assume that we are comparing two households that are equal in all respects: income, demographic structure, regions, and so on. In one of them, we have dominance of girls, in the other one, we have dominance of boys. And we try to infer inequality in treatment of boys and girls from variations in the adult standard of living as identified by consumption of adult goods. So the idea here is that if there is a strong preference for boys, you're going to have adults are more willing, discriminating adults are more willing to cut more deeply into their standard of living. So you're going to have lower expenditure for the boy group compared to the girl group. So if we say, for example, take the difference of the girl group from the boy group, if there is discrimination, that difference should be positive. And if it is significant, that's the evidence for gender bias against girls. And this is a testable hypothesis. We could test it with the data available from household expenditure survey, and such data is widely available. In many countries, they're conducted on annual basis. Note in this regard that expenditure, direct expenditure of goods that are directly consumed by children in the context of this model are not very informative about discrimination against girls. It is the household level information on goods assigned to household, exclusively consumed by household, that allows us to make indirect inferences about presence or otherwise of gender bias against girls. This method was first applied to gender bias by Deaton in a joint study of World Bank Princeton back in 87 to Ivory Coast, subsequently published with another joint application to Thailand in World Bank Economic Review. Since I'm going to present some evidence for India, preliminary but nevertheless, I should point out that the first application of this method to India was in 1991. Since that, there has, at least as far as I know, four applications to India. What they all have in common is they all use rural Maharashtra. Rural Maharashtra, for those not so familiar with the Indian research, is often taken in the context of India as a region with an average level of welfare indicators, and therefore it's often used as a smaller scale study, and that's what I'm trying to do. If the evidence holds, that hopefully we could expand it into a whole India study. Since then, there have been a large number of applications of this method, and it's still going on. I suggest more recent issues of Journal of Applied Econometrics application to China, Pakistan, none of them the first applications. What is really surprising, Angus Deaton calls this outcome a paradox, but what's really surprising is that these applications are to countries for which there is massive evidence by welfare outcome of discrimination against girls, and yet none of them, none, have actually produced evidence of intra-household discrimination against girls. And I just don't think this is credible. In 2001, based on my own original research on Iran, I presented the first evidence for the effectiveness of Rothbard's model in detecting gender bias from pattern of consumption of adults in a seminar at World Bank. And the question is, which I'd like to address, is what is it that explains the difference between the earlier attempts and my results? And in this regard, I would like to mention two major factors. One is that all these applications apply the Rothbard model to all types of households, that is, nuclear and non-clear extended families. The model really is only valid when it's applied to nuclear households. This is made quite explicit in a well-known study by Deaton and Milwa, Journal of Political Economy, 86, in which they make explicit the condition for the valid application of different methods of equivalent scale, and including the Rothbard method, that adults are assumed to be the only decision makers when it comes to resource allocation among different members of the household, and they are the only people present before and after the demographic change. Now, let's look at the two typical household expenditure survey to which I'm going to, for which I'm going to present some results. 2004-05 Ethiopia household income and consumption expenditure survey, by that initials has 35% of the sample consisting of extended families. That those are the families in which you have adult members other than the household head of spouse. My own research with Iranian data, which or an Iranian data for that matter, which has no more than just under 20% of the sample households are of this type, shows that include them in your estimation and you get kind of nonsensical thing. They cause havoc to the test results. Here in Ethiopia, we have therefore, if you exclude them, we have 65% nuclear households. However, Ethiopia has a large orphan child problems. And there is evidence that parents discriminate between biological and non-biological children. Since this introduces an additional dimension of inequality into treatment of children, with which I'm not really concerned, I've excluded them, so we have something like 45-47% of the sample of exclusively nuclear households. For India, I'm using 2004 and 5 national sample survey data for rural Maharashtra. Here you could see much more clearly what I really had in mind originally. Actually, I was thinking of India. 57% of the sample consists of nuclear households, and of this only 43% is nuclear. And if you look at the structure, is you know, a large percentage of sample consists of parents of adults living in the household, married children living in the household. These, you know, produce all sorts of things. Average number of working adults who might exercise some control over resource distribution, which have nothing to do with the household as described by Dieter and Milbaugh, as adults being the only decision makers. So if you restrict them, these are the number of samples you get to which we apply the hypothesis. The second issue is gender index. In all previous studies, gender index applies to is defined with reference to proportion of girls and boys in different age groups. But there is really no plausible hypothesis that gender index works in that direction. However, there is quite a plausible hypothesis that gender index is related to number of children, especially for in a society with some preference, they're likely to have more children, those parents who are not successful in meeting their gender target early in their fertility cycle. And therefore, you're likely to get positive correlation, say, between proportion of girls and number of children in the household. But that's part of the story. You could also get negative correlation if, for instance, those parents, after repeated attempts of, say, three daughters, they might put such a negative weight on the arrival of another daughter, even though they prefer a son, that they could actually settle for a lower parity. And that being the case, it means that the correlation could move in either direction. You can't really tell us much about the presence of gender bias against girls. And that's where the economic model comes in. Here we have a model where parents control expenditure on level of adult goods or share of adult goods, and which would then vary with respond to conditioning variables of proportion of boys and girls in the household. We apply this model using this equation, regressing share of adult goods on household per capita income, perhaps a quadratic term. There is an evidence of linearity, non-linearity. We normally include a separate term for household size to capture economy of scale. Z variable here has all the additional dummies, like regional in case of India, membership of different costs and so on. And we have demographics defined by these two variables. That's where our equation differs from earlier attempts. I define age structure without reference to gender of children, only over number of children, different age groups, and a gender index here separately for girls. We have, in each case, we drop one of the groups in order to avoid collinearity. Therefore, for children, I drop the older, and for girls, we retain the proportion of girls in the household relative to total number of children. So the missing group, the reference group, is proportion of boys. What size should the coefficient estimate have for discrimination against K? It should be positive. As the proportion of girls increase and girls substitute boys in the household, the level of expenditure relative to the proportion of boys goes up, and therefore the coefficient should be positive, and if it's significant, that's our evidence of gender bias against girls. We apply this to Ethiopia. As you can see, it's all positive, either significant at 5 or 95-99%. I've tested for robustness to age of children because it could be that child labor is affecting this outcome. People spend more on boys, bringing more resources into the household. So it's important to check for this robustness, and the results remain robust. And I maybe come back to this female-headed household for Ethiopia. Just let me move on. For India, now, in presence of such distinguished group of Indian economists here, I must say that this is my first encounter with the Indian data. I'm particularly dependent on their comments and criticism. But having said that, I know a thing or two about Rothbard's model after working on it for several years. And what I suggested to be the cause of failure of aerial models seems to be working here. Again, they're all significant. They suggest the direction of the results suggests gender bias against girls, and they're robust to age of children. Finally, a quick comparison with welfare outcomes. These are just two welfare indicators, proportion of missing girls in the population and completion ratio of primary school attendance. They are not meant to be no surprise to those familiar with the features on the Indian economy, but just to indicate that in both cases, the ratio is less than one, the boy to girl is less than one, and therefore there is correspondence with our analysis in terms of welfare outcome. Finally, Rothbard method works, providing the two issues I've mentioned taken into account. There is presence of gender bias in the in consumption pattern of adults for Ethiopia and Iran, and beg your pardon, India. And finally, I'd like to point out the potential of this method to analyze the current crisis. As it happens, Indian household expenditure survey is conducted every 5 years, and the current one is being carried out at the moment. We should be able to compare the results for 2004 with what should very soon be available, the same thing for Ethiopia, and that should provide us some measure of assessing the impact of crisis on children. In some cases, it's possible to go further if there is available information on adult goods exclusively consumed by women and men, because that would then give us a more, and such is not available for India and Ethiopia, but it is available with Iranian household expenditure survey, and I'm sure many other countries would allow us a more direct method of assessing the variation in the living standard of women as it's impacted by the current crisis on welfare of children. Thank you.